All the stage is getting remade behind me. I just want to give you guys a couple of small heads ups on a couple of things. First off, this is the last week to participate in the Lifeline Children's Services, the Make a Change campaign. So when we've been filling baby bottles, so if you want to participate, this is the last week to do that. This is the last day. If you want to, you can bring stuff tomorrow. I think I'm taking things into Lifeline on tomorrow, Monday afternoon. So if you'd like to participate that way, this is also the last week to look through books because we are going to be donating books. Sherry, Tony, and Tanya have done a great job of going through an insurmountable mass of literature, and we are getting pretty much a new library out of it, so thank you guys. One last thing. I have not heard more, but many of you know, if you're connected to our prayer chain, you know that Will Gilliland had a heart attack inside the emergency room. He was in the emergency room and had a heart attack inside the emergency room, which, as Pat was telling me, is the best place to have a heart attack if you're going to have one. So he had a heart attack on Friday morning and is recovering. Still recovering. I don't believe they are home. I'm looking for people that might know. I have not heard from them since. But I'm going to just open us in prayer real quick, and let's pray for Will and Pat as they are navigating some unexpected medical news. So let's pray together. God, thanks for being with us. You are a good, good Father. And we're grateful. You show us what being a good father is like. And we are grateful to celebrate today, to celebrate Father's Day. We recognize for some of us, we have wonderful, good, meaningful memories with our fathers. For some of us, that may not be the case. And yet you show us what being the ultimate good father is like. God, we pray especially today for Will Gilliland, that you would help heal his body. We are saddened by his medical news that he had a heart attack, a serious and dangerous thing, but we are grateful for the circumstances that led him to be in a place where doctors could help him, could take care of him. We pray for his continued recovery, that it would be swift, that it would be complete, and that you would be with him, be with Pat too. It's hard to see a loved one, a spouse, going through something difficult. Take care of her, her emotions, her well-being. Take care of the Gilliland family, Lord. Be with us as we talk about who you are today, and help us see you more and more. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, you guys know that by the way, my name's Ben. If we have not, there we go. If we have not met before, my name's Ben. I'm one of the pastors here. We need to get kids out of here, don't we? You guys got some prayer time, but we need to get you to children's church, to kids' worship. Thank you, Susan. Kids, if you would like to join kids' worship. They were chomping at the bit to get out there. I said, like, kids, and away they went. Man, moving. Well, my name's Ben. I'm one of the pastors here. If we haven't met before, it's good to have you with us. It's good to worship together. And you probably know that, one, it is Father's Day, and two, I am not a father, and I feel really awkward talking about being a father when I am not a father. And so what I figured we would do is we would hear from some people. We would have a conversation about being a man after God and being fathers from some people in our community. So I've asked three gentlemen to come join us. Scott, if you want to come up, Patrick and Lawrence, if you guys want to come up here. I've got some microphones for us. Scott, if you want to take that seat at the end. And Lawrence, I'm going to ask you to sit right here, and Patrick here. Patrick, I'm going to give you a corded mic.
Sound, but make sure it's on the green. Now I'm off. You get
people sound advice and then your own thing is off, there's probably something, a lesson there. But I just wanted to have a conversation amongst us. And this is not just meant to be only for men. We celebrate fathers today, but there are things that we're going to be talking about that can be helpful and meaningful for all of us. But I've asked four of us up here to talk about questions. We'll just have a discussion. If you've got something to chime in, please just raise your hand, and we can take stuff from the audience too, from all of us, because we are all the church. But I just want to ask, this is the opening question, how have you seen God working in your life or in your family? And I'll let things go. Go for it. How have you seen God working in your life or in your family?
Well, I'll start with a story because that explains it the best. Talking about being a father, I think the path, I have a path in my mind that I'd like to see my child follow. Will he follow that? We don't know, but we can only pray that he does. So when I see my son do things that make making good decisions, things that make you proud, those are moments that I can see when God's working in my life. When you choose to give all the money you have from your birthday to a charity for kids that have cancer, because you'd rather have kids have a chance at life than you have a few bucks in a video game. Those are the times where I see God working in me and my family's life. There's 1,000 more stories like that, but I'll pass it on.
Well, I don't know how many of you know the story in my life. Julie knows that better than most of you, but my parents died in a car wreck when I was a kid. And the thing that I remember most about God's intervention in my life is how many men who were dads in their own right stepped up to be mentors to me at a time when I really needed it. Forgive me if I have a little struggle getting this out. Uncle Benny, Jake Clausen, my seventh grade teacher, Mano Jost was a farmer that hired me to work on the farm. And he and I would stop on a busy day on the farm, and he would take time to share with me things that he wished that he had made better choices at when he was a kid, and the price that he had paid for some of those things. And I thank God for those people who took the time and saw the need. You know, Hillary Clinton wrote a book, Takes a Village to Raise a Child. These guys saw that a long time before she wrote that book. Not that she didn't do a good job, but they were real dads to me.
Yeah, I've got a lot of stories too. Usually I promise my wife I'll keep things short, but she's not here. I thought about this. It's weird because it ties into a Christmas story, but like I've always kind of wondered about the Star of Bethlehem. You know, like how did nobody see that? You know, how does Herod have to ask the wise men where it is? When did it show up? If it's going to be this thing? And I finally kind of was sitting there and I'm like, oh, because the wise men were looking for it. You know, so. That's one of the things I think I do. I don't know if it's out of necessity on a daily basis, but like I look for things, you know, all the time. I mean, I'm always like, seriously, like one more thing, and but we get through it somehow. Usually before I like the song, He Knows What We Need Before We Ask, and like sometimes the answer to the prayers come like all of a sudden a step before maybe you need it. And so like I've been really fortunate. I really am happy. When my wife and I met, we got the advice in our marriage counseling just to pick a church because I was going to a different church at the time. And so we thought about it for a while. He's like, don't go to two places. That's not going to work out. And so we just decided to come here. I knew just as many people here, I think, at the time. She was more comfortable here. I was really comfortable. And I'm super glad we did. And I've told people this a long time ago because of guys like Dale Jost and Owen Fall and well, my future father-in-law, John Wolgamuth, you know, and all those guys. Just, I mean, if you wanted to learn how to kind of be a dad, that was great. Greg Hebert, same way. And so it was just kind of nice. And I've just been blessed to have so many people put around me, I think, to be that. Even the guys I work with, it's just amazing how many people. Like, I don't know why I'm so blessed to be fortunate to be around some of these guys that are just, you know, I think just outstanding people, great dads. And so I just had a lot of people to look up to and learn from, I think.
What I'm hearing a lot of us say is that it's been people in our life that were dads to us that have shaped you, how God has worked in your life and how God has worked in your families is through the lives of men that went before you that were good dads to you, whether they were your dad, whether they were not your dads, but they acted in that role. And now you are seeing that played out. And Patrick, you were talking about seeing that playing out in Eli's life. And that is a good and wonderful thing. The next question is a little bit harder, but it's one that we need to ask, especially on Father's Day. Are there ways that you see men in our world struggling? And this might be men inside the church, this might be men outside the church, but are there ways that you see men in the world struggling, that are struggling not to live up to God's way and not to live up to some of the examples that you guys talked about? Is there something that you can identify that how men are struggling?
Well, I hear the reports on TV every night, every day, of shootings and violence and of different kinds. This, I don't want anybody to infer from what I'm saying this has a race issue with it. I just want to make sure that we understand. This is across the board. We see shootings, we see violence, and when you hear the reporters talking to athletes, so often they're crediting grandmas and moms for seeing them through the tough times. And I'm concerned about fathers seeing their roles in particularly with their sons. It just seems like there's a vacancy there that needs to be addressed, and that men need to get a grip. Men across the board in all of society need to get a grip, particularly with their sons. I'll speak to that more in another question, but I think that's enough.
Mine's pretty generic, but during the song when we were listening to The Way, just overall broad, I think that's a lot of the problem. People don't know The Way. Dads don't speak truth into their children's life. And if a father does not have a connection with The Way and the truth and the life, how can he show his kid how to follow that way? So every day, try to be in that word and know what God wants my path to be so I can be an example for my son. And I know there's a lot of that lacking in the world.
Well, I think it's probably easier to say where I'm lacking than everybody else. Patience is probably a big thing with me, and I've learned a lot about being patient and keeping your cool I've actually learned that a lot through just teaching and coaching. It doesn't do a whole lot of good to just blow your top at somebody. And it's funny if that happens at home, because Nathan will call me out on it sometimes, which makes me think that he must be doing something right. He must be paying attention, because I'll do something. He's like, you're not supposed to yell. I'm like, I'm not yelling, you know. Like, you don't get to tell me what to do. And you're right. You know.
I got you.
So, yeah. Well, Nathan's here. I didn't want to. Yeah, so it's just one of those things where I kind of like Patrick says, when they don't maybe know that you're looking, and they do something that you know, it's just that kind of thing was really nice. So I know that's probably the two hard things for me. Like if I start to get selfish about something, then that's usually when something bites me in the backside. And so I think that's probably one of the biggest things. I think most mistakes I make almost always stem out of selfishness. And So it's one of the things that you kind of keep learning as you go, that you know, true love is selfless, you know. And so just to keep being selfless, and that's not a thing just for fathers. I mean, everybody's got to do that, I think. So.
Absolutely. And I want to, what I wanted to talk about in relation to this question was actually something, Lawrence and Scott, that you both brought up. And Patrick, I think it works well with what you said too. In our world, it seems like, and this is not in every situation, I readily acknowledge this, but in most situations, in most relationships at least, men are the ones that tend to have a little bit more, shall we say, physical power. We just tend to be a little bit bigger or a little stronger. That's not always the case. I will readily acknowledge that. But we, as men, we recognize we have power in our relationships, and that can be a good and wonderful thing when we're using that power to provide for our families, to take care of people in our community, to take care of people we care about. But we see in our world sometimes when people misuse their power, and oftentimes it is men that misuse our power. And I just want to say this, if you're a man here and you are using your power, whether that is physical power, just your own strength and your own presence to keep somebody in a relationship with you, or whether that is even using verbal power, you know, you can shout and you can yell, and that can be intimidating. If you're using your power to keep somebody in a relationship with you, whether that is a romantic partner, a spouse, a child even, a kid, if you're using your power to keep somebody in a relationship with you, you're doing it wrong. Scott, you said it exactly right. It is love that should lead the way. And so I want to say, if you're somebody that feels like you have to use a certain power or presence to keep people in connection with you, I want to invite you to repent. And I want to invite you to come talk to me afterwards. I'm somebody that can help make connections with you to help you get to see some people that might help you choose a different way, or just be able to make connections, make relationships in other ways, as opposed to just using your physical presence and power to keep people, to force people to be in relationship with you. I also want to say for people that are experiencing that you may be experiencing somebody, a spouse or a uncle or a teacher. I don't know what the situation may be, but if you're experiencing someone who is keeping you in a relationship with them, whether they are physically attacking, whether they are doing something that is verbal, if there's anything like that in your life, I want to help you know that it is that person that is sinning. They're sinning against God, against you, and against themselves. They're not doing something that will lead themselves to life. So I just want to mention, this is not a fun thing to talk about, but if you are in that situation where you're somebody, whether you're somebody who is using your power to keep others in a relationship with you, abusing others verbally, physically, or whether you're somebody that is having that done to you, please come talk to me afterwards. I would be glad to connect you with people that can help. But that is a way, like Lauren said, that consistently we see men in our world not living up to the best way for them, the godly way for them.
I remember also just talked about violence on the streets, but my dad was gone by the time I was 11, but I can't count the many things that he taught me how to do. And in my business enterprises, I hired a lot of people, a lot of young people. There had not been a dad that taught them how to work, how to show up for work, how to be honorable in their work, how to have integrity and all that sort of, all of those things that was missing. And it's important. And I want to also credit the younger generation of dads, because I really think they smoked us old guys in terms of being attentive to their families. You guys, that's good.
Third question for us. We're starting to get close to the end of our time. What is an experience that you've had as a man or as a father that has connected you to God in a deeper way?
Got to go to a Royals ball game with my son last Monday. And you say, how does that connect you to? Well, I'll tell you what. Royal Stadium's a special place. It's a dream place. It's a dream maker. And as I sat there and as we drove home after that game, I thought about Kevin and I probably saw upwards of 50, 60, 70 games when he was a kid. Roberta was a big credit to that because many times she would buy us what was available then was an 8-pack of games during the summers. You could buy the upper stadium deck up in the corner. Those were $2 seats. And we could buy hot dogs for $1. So we could probably go drive from Topeka and go to a Royals game, two of us, eat hot dogs and a Coke, and even have a dessert, and drive home and probably spend $12 for everything. Kevin bought a chicken finger thing and a bolus sausage for us. It was $30. Scary, ain't it? But it's a dream place today because of the dreams we created when he was a kid. I remember going to a doubleheader with him one time. I can't believe to this day we did that. I think we left Topeka at 4 o'clock, and I think we drove into the house here in Topeka at 4 o'clock. In the morning, both extra inning games. And I can remember him being awake the whole time, and he'd get in the truck when we were done, and he'd curl up on the seat beside me and go to sleep. Those dreams are God's touch. And I wasn't going to bring this up, but I remember how instrumental Jake and Robert were when the Stauffers lost their house in a fire. And and their house had been added to like 10 times, and the foundation was lousy and everything. And he was trying to figure out insurance wasn't going to begin to pay for what they lost in a fire. And Jake and Robert saw to it that the foundation was in, and one Saturday, 60 of us from Manhattan and Topeka and the Southern Hills Church got out there, and by evening we didn't get paper on the roof, but we got a lot of the decking on the roof, and we had all the siding, all the walls up, and all the siding up. And I remember watching Milton at the end of the day and the tears of joy making something possible. That God was there in that. So you ask, where was he instrumental?
Amen. We can use our power for negative reasons, but oftentimes God works in us when we use our strength and the tools that God gave us to do something that is a blessing to others. That's amazing. Scott or Patrick, what's an experience you've had as a man or father that where you've seen God working, or you've seen God on a deeper level?
Usually God talks to me at work when I'm in a bad mood.
All the time.
All the time. First of all, shout out to my dad. I wouldn't be who I am without you, so thank you. God speaks to me the most, I think, when I need to be corrected, and maybe that's why I tend to be a disciplinarian. I don't know. I feel that way sometimes, but oftentimes I'm in rougher neighborhoods, find myself maybe judging the way certain people live or what's going on in the neighborhood. I don't think I necessarily think I'm above anybody, but maybe it kind of comes across that way. God talks to me directly when he has a non-English speaking 4-year-old girl bring me ice cold water on a 110 degree day on a Saturday morning. All those negative thoughts go away. I never considered myself, and not just because she was a kid, but I never considered myself maybe a child person until I had a child, and I really like kids. I mean, I learned that I like kids. And because of him, and knowing what kind of father we all have, that's what I strive to be, not just to my son, but to all children looking for guidance or role model. I don't know. I go into these neighborhoods with a different perspective now because of how many times God has spoken directly to me through a child in these neighborhoods. God loves us all.
Yeah, I would say pretty much from about 6:30 in the morning to 9:30 at night. It's just one of those things, again, where, sometimes just moment to moment, you never quite know what's coming up. And I think I've decided it's okay not to know squat about anything, you know. I know a lot of really smart people that aren't wise at all, you know. And I think I make better decisions when I don't do anything. I mean, sometimes when I don't do anything. Sometimes you feel like you kind of have to know all the answers to everything. And you're at your wit's end. And then the next thing you know, like, something works out. And it was already in place before you got there. And again, it's just kind of one of those things that's, you know, Ben especially, it's just one of those things, again, we have a lady that he's a teacher with. I think some of you guys have seen the announcement maybe. And, we've just figured out, he really wants to help people do some stuff. He really helped John in the shed one day. And then he was so proud of himself for putting the plants out here. And he was so proud of himself. He wants to detail everybody's car now. But it's just, you know, one of those things where I can't get him to do that at home, you know, and you kind of get at your wit's end, and then, you know, Patrick comes over, somebody else comes over, and then he just goes and does it. And so, again, that thing was put in place long before I got there, so that's one of the things I had to work on, is that I don't know everything, and that's totally okay, and that's hard to deal with sometimes, but it's what it is, you know. So,
speaking of which, Ben Peterson detailing, 2:30 on Wednesday, come get your car detailed for the price of giving Ben a honk of your horn. So please, come to the church, 2:30 on Wednesday. You honk your horn, he'll detail your car for you. It's a good deal, if ever I've heard one. Last thing for us as we close here, is there a scripture that, I asked each of you for scriptures that spoke to you about being a man that lives God's way, and I actually have these in order, so let me skip past my slides here. Lawrence, I'm going to ask you first, and if you want to turn around and read it, you can, or if you've got it elsewhere, you're able to. But Lawrence, you talked about Isaiah 40. Let me put that up for our friends on the screen. So.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our amazing son is in Des Moines, Iowa this morning, do a half Ironman. And I sent that verse to him.
Meaningful. Patrick, I think I've got you next. Joshua 1. Yeah.
Mine's shorter, and I did not memorize it. Joshua 1:5, And I found this reading through, I don't know if anybody listens to Tony Evans' podcast, but he's very lively and he speaks to my heart quite often. He's talking about being a kingdom man. This verse 5 says, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." And I know it's not up there, but expanding at the end of the chapter, verse 9, it says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And then these are things I tell myself, and they're things I tell my son.
That's good. Scott, I've got the Isaiah and the Colossians passages up there. If you want to read them off, and if you want to skip one, you're good. Scott joined us a little bit last minute. We had somebody else that had plans, and so Scott learned Friday night that he was going to be invited here. So, Scott, thank you for hopping in and being willing.
More than the ones he's listed, probably, because I had a hard time narrowing some down. And I was just going to kind of wait and see how it went today before I kind of figured out which one kind of stayed with the theme. But Isaiah 55, 9 through 11, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And so that's kind of my, I don't have to have all the answers verse.
Yeah. That's good. Do you want to read the Isaiah passage or would you?
Oh, did I not read the right one?
Oh, no, no. Oh, I put Isaiah up there, but that is clearly not Isaiah. I don't know where that is from. I think that's Colossians.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Colossians 2:8. I put Isaiah up there. That's my bad.
Okay. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual power of this world rather than from Christ. And so that was my wisdom and smart people advice.
I like it. And then I put one up there for me, 1 Timothy 6. It's not on the screen. That's all right. Oh. There we go. All right. Thank you. First Timothy 6. And I'm going to put our name. You can put your name in here instead of Timothy. But starting at verse 11. "But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the truth faith. Hold tightly to eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses." Just everything that I'm hearing from us talking is we recognize we're surrounded by witnesses to our lives. And we try and live as well as we can, and we want to pass that on to others, whether they're our kids, whether they're friends, family, other kids that we're not related to but are still our kids. That's what I'm hearing. So I think this is good. I'm going to pray over us, actually, and just ask for all of us to be changed by what we heard today. So let's pray real quick. God, thank you for these men that have talked about being good fathers, being fathers after you, the way that we are trying to pursue being men in this world and being good and for you. God, we ask and we pray that you would help us with whatever we needed to hear this morning, whether it was an encouragement, whether it was a challenge, whether it was even just a scripture verse that stuck out in our hearts in some special way. Lord, we love you. Help us be men, be fathers, be people like you want us to be. Be with us and help us to follow after you because we know you are the way, the truth, and the life. Let us follow you well this week, Lord. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Really quickly before I send us out, would you mind clapping for Patrick, for Scott, for Lawrence? Appreciate you all. We're going to close here, and so I want to invite you, whether you are a father, whether you are you know a father, however you come to Father's Day, may you be blessed knowing the ultimate Father, God the Father, our Savior and our Lord. Be blessed. Have a great week. Go in peace. I didn't know we-